Christy was troubled. She knew the ordnance that her friends carried. She had an idea of what the technomad she had glimpsed on that fractured image may carry. In fact, she knew that there was no way that anything in the length and breadth of the Deathlands could match up to this. Howard had the capacity within this base to wipe out anything that approached civilization. She remembered the damage that Howard had caused, using only the smallest fraction of the tech he had. He had to be stopped, and she had to work out a way to do it before he could wipe out her friends and those who had answered their call for assistance. All this raced through her mind while she tried to take in what she could see. Her jaw had to have dropped. Something made Howard smile indulgently when he turned to her and saw the expression on her face.
It is impressive, isn't it? It's quite some legacy to be left with, I'll admit. And a lot for us to live up to, if we are to use it properly and for the greater good. Come, I'll show you what we have at our disposal.
He took her hand and guided her into the room. The computers and monitors were lined around three walls of the room. In the center of the floor were two padded leather chairs on a runner that ran in a half circle, making it possible for those seated to swivel around the room and take in all the monitors and comps. This was more than just an armory inventory room. It was a battle station.
Come, sit down. This seat is for you.
Okay.
Well, what do you think?
There's so much here.
Yes, well, my ancestors believed in being prepared for anything. Here, I'll walk you through it. Each computer is in control of a separate class of defenses and weaponry, and they're all linked by network to the centralized console, right here. Once you've been fully trained, we can split the controls right down the middle. The entire setup is quite modular to best handle any situation we may encounter. You already know about the proximity mines and the spy cams, though I'm afraid it might be a while before we can use the spy cams again. The SMG nests and anti-personnel weaponry, lined around the entrance of the ranch house, will make sure nobody can get close to our entrance. But there's more, in case something goes wrong. Nerve gas, tear gas, chemical agents, rockets, ground-to-air missiles, both conventional and nuclear.
You have nuclear missiles in here?
Well, they're not armed, but that's what the workers are for. Oh, and there are also several mobile vehicles in the underground bays. They are equipped similarly to the base itself, just in smaller quantities. Oh, and that reminds me, some of the weapons cannot be found anywhere else on Earth. For instance, high-energy cables extend to insulated towers placed strategically around the base. Once those towers are activated, localized earth tremors can be set up, incapacitating enemies at will.
Christy looked around the control room. Any one of the weapon systems had more than enough firepower to take out every last one of her rescuers. And the defenses of the place were greater than any redoubt she had ever seen. There was no chance that the approaching force would be able to break through to the interior of the base. In fact, there was little chance they would get more than a few hundred yards without being wiped out. Christy didn't know about the sonic weapons and the strange tech that the nomads possessed. Not in detail. If she dragged her memory, she might recall their resources. But it didn't matter. It would be a massacre. She had to think, and fast. So far, she had failed to come up with an idea of how she could trick him into initiating the self-destruct mechanism, which was probably just as well in one sense. Now that she knew the extent of what the base carried, she knew that its destruction would probably lead to a major land upheaval and even radioactive fallout for some distance around. There was little point in stopping her friends being killed by the base defenses, only for them to be fried by rads or crushed and buried in a quake. And if she was going to die, as she'd half suspected she might to ensure their safety, she sure didn't want it to be for nothing. She needed to get out of this room, to not have these horrors right in her face, looming up over her and blocking her capacity for logical and inventive thought. And Gaia knew that she had to be inventive if she was going to get out of this one.
Are you all right, Storm Girl? You look... I don't know.
Christy knew that she hadn't reacted to his display of tech in quite the way he would have wanted. She was supposed to swoon like an old-time heroine, falling into his arms. She turned to him and smiled, trying to block the horror out of her mind and get through the next few minutes.
It's all a bit much, Thunder Rider. A gal can only take so much at any one time. It's like you in here, so big and strong.
She reached out to him, stroking his arm. He looked down at her hand, and seemed unsure of himself. His own hand went to hers, lightly brushing her fingers. She could feel a tremble in his touch.
Thunder Rider, I've been thinking. Those people out there, they're not really the enemy and not really allies. They don't know where they are with us or what to do.
I
know that they won't let us talk to them reasonably. But what I mean is this. While they're out of range, they're no threat. Sid and Hamill will monitor them and tell us when they come within range and what their actions are. But until then, we have time.
He was naive, innocent in many ways, but he was still a man, and she was counting on that.
I don't know.
She could see it in his eyes. It was what he wanted, but he knew little of women, other than the woman who had been both his sister and aunt. He didn't know what to do. If she played this right, she could buy valuable time.
I think you know what I mean, Thunder Rider. It's time. There is time.
Yes.
Very well, then. Let me go take a shower. You instruct Sid and Hamill to alert you only in the direst of circumstances, and you go and wait for me in your quarters. I won't be long.
She rose from her seat, her hand brushing against his arm. She could feel his body tense. She smiled at him and turned to leave the room, her smile fading, her face sitting hard as her back became his only view of her. She remembered to swing her hips as she left, reinforcing the impression she wanted to leave him with.
Hamill, continue monitoring the group. Alert me if there's any offensive move.
Of course, Howard.
Sid, can you hear me?
I can.
When I get to my room, have the files left by Jenny ready for me and get that shower running. I'm going to have to duck under to support my story, and I'm not going to have much time.
Very well. We will talk more when you get there.
Sid faded away, and Christy stepped up her pace. She was still unfamiliar with the layout of the labyrinthine bunker, and she was sure she was going wrong. But despite his silence, Sid was still monitoring her closely. She could tell from the way in which the lights ahead of her dimmed and rose to indicate the correct path. By the time she had ascended a level, she was running. Howard would be expecting her to walk, then shower, and walk back to his quarters. She needed to get wet to cover herself, and to run to make up valuable time. It seemed so petty, every second snatched, so paltry, yet the solution to her problem was somewhere on that piece of vid. She knew it. She just hoped she would have time to find it.
Lock it, Sid.
But if Howard...
orders you to open it, then you'll have to. But that'll still give me time to cover us. I can tell him I had you lock it because of my feminine modesty or something. He'll fall for it.
How do you know?
He's a man, and an innocent one at that. Has it been that long that you can't remember?
No, I can. You may be right. I hope so.
It's all we've got. Run Jenny's final vid on my terminal, Sid. From the beginning.
My name is Jenny, and I'm dying.
Fast forward it, please. I don't have the time. There's just this one bit... there. Slow it to normal, Sid.
It pains me to say this, for I love him. But without a steadying hand, I fear for what he will do. Only he has the power to actuate the destruction of this place. It's all genetics, you see. That, and the randomness of numbers. Only he can do it. But the threat can be stayed. I fear he must be stopped, even at the expense of his life.
There. Stop the tape.
The monitor went dead. Christy looked up at the ceiling. She had no idea where the cameras were in the room, but somehow she had come to think of Sid as watching over her from above.
That's it. I think we've got him.
We?
Listen to me. Jenny said two things on there that I knew were bugging me. First thing, Howard is the only one to be able to override systems, right?
Correct.
He does this because the system responds to his genetic imprint, as you told me. I saw that oval pad on the main desk in the console room. That's the, I don't know, genetic keypad, right?
Correct. The key to opening and controlling all systems is through that pad. To actuate the destruction sequence, the command would have to be delivered while the genetic imprint was being read, not before or after, but during. This is to ensure that the deliverer of the message is the one in the keypad.
Yeah, so that's the one way. But there's another, isn't there?
Yes, but only Howard...
No, for fuck's sake, Sid, we don't have time. So just answer this simply and precisely. She said, the randomness of numbers. There's a code, isn't there? A numerical code that is known only to Howard?
Yes. Each successive generation has the ability to change the failsafe code. When Jenny died, Howard changed it to a set of figures only he knows.
How does that work? If it's part of the system, then surely you have access to it.
No. It's built into the circuitry that has controlled us since we were butchered, that neither Hamill nor myself can access that part of the mainframe without severe damage. Even to approach that part of the program sends warning jolts through us.
But would that matter? Even if you could not access that program, then surely you could chill yourselves.
I said damage, Christy. The bastards who did this to us would not allow us to slip away that easily. The remnants of our intelligence would linger in even greater suffering. The base would be harder to maintain, but in the long term, it would not suffer.
Christy frowned. The callous bastards who had brought Sid and Hamill to this, and had created the insane Howard, who, much as it made her skin crawl, could not be held responsible for the ancestors who had made him this way, had much to answer for. But they were long since dust. She had to deal with the present threat.
So Howard can punch in the code without using the genetic key?
Yes. It's a failsafe, or if the genetic pad malfunctions.
And only he knows the code?
Correct.
Have you ever tried to crack it?
It's a 10-number sequence. It may take a billion attempts.
A billion?
Actually, the number of numbers, as it were, does not matter. The system works on a 3-strikes rule.
Meaning?
Meaning that if the first 3 numbers fed to the system are incorrect, then it shuts down and Howard is alerted. While there is little he could do to punish us as such, he would simply change the number again, making the task that little bit harder.
Hmm. What if I told you Howard has given you the number?
Impossible. He wouldn't be that stupid.
Well, he hasn't done it consciously, and I couldn't give it to you right now, but I think I know how you can get it. You keep records of interior cameras for how long?
Indefinitely. We have the capacity to store an almost infinite amount of information from the cams.
Then go back over the records of the recreation room. Every time Howard fingers those old books and comics, he goes for favorites. I'll bet he even looks at them in the same order each time. That's how his mind works. Get the numbers on those books and comics. They're all numbered. And the order in which he looks at them. I'll bet you your freedom and mine that they're the bastard's failsafe number.
Christy, I think you may have it. And to think that it's been under our noses all this time. If we still had noses. I don't know.
And don't waste your time thanking me. Just get to it, Sid.
Yes, I... Howard is on his way. He has obviously grown impatient of waiting.
Okay, chill the comp. Keep the door locked until he commands you and buy me some time.
Christy was in the shower in record time. She moved under the shower head, took it off its mount, and soaked every part of her skin before hunting around for one of the gels and lotions that had lain here since Jenny's demise. She had used some of them since she had been resident here, and their strange perfume still seemed sickly and odd to her. The only good thing about them, as far as she could see, was that they lathered up with an incredible rapidity. Within seconds, she smelled like nothing she had ever known, and was covered in so much lather that she could have conceivably been under the shower for 30 seconds or 30 minutes. She didn't hear Howard try to enter over the noise of the shower, but her curling hair and the flicking of its ends warned her that he was near.
Stormgirl, what is taking so... Oh.
Howard's jaw hung agape. She could see the bulge at the front of his uniform. Howard stood frozen, unable to move, unsure of what to do. Christy extended her arm, gently pushed him back, slipping past him and covering herself with a towel.
Let me at least dry off first, and then...
And then... Oh, yes, of course, yes, absolutely. I will be eagerly awaiting
Howard,
your...
perimeter breached in 3 places. Ready to institute defensive measures.
Howard took Christy by the shoulders, and there was an unholy gleam in his eyes.
Quickly, get dressed, my Storm Girl. Our first great test is upon us.